Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest." Then Jesus summoned his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to cure every disease and every sickness. These are the names of the 12 apostles: first Simon, also known as Peter, and his brother Andrew; James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John; Philip and Bartholomew; Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector; James, son of Alphaeus and Thaddeus; Simon the Cananean; and Judas Iscariot, the one who betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions: "Go nowhere among the Gentiles, and enter no town of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. As you go, proclaim the good news. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. You have received without payment, give without payment. Take no gold or silver or copper in your belts, no bag for your journey, or two tunics or sandals or a staff, for laborers deserve their food. Whatever town or village you enter, find out who in it is worthy and stay there until you leave. As you enter the house, greet it. If the house is worthy, let your peace come upon it. And if it is not worthy, let your peace return to you. If anyone will not welcome you or listen to your words, shake off the dust from your feet as you leave that house or town. Truly I tell you, it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah on the day of judgment than for that town. See, I am sending you out like sheep in the midst of wolves. So be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. Beware of them, for they will hand you over to councils and flog you in their synagogues. And you will be dragged before governors and kings because of me, as a testimony to them and to the Gentiles. When they hand you over, do not worry how you are to speak or what you are to say, for what you are to say will be given to you at that time. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Brother will betray brother to death, and a father his child, and children will rise against parents and have them put to death, and you will be hated by all because of my name. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. When they persecute you in one town, flee to the next, for truly I tell you, you will not have gone through all the towns of Israel before the Son of Man comes." The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. In this passage from Matthew, the thing that drives Jesus in his work is compassion. Jesus was going around to different places. He was teaching, he was preaching, and he was healing. When the crowds were there, he had compassion for them because he saw that they didn't have a leader. That's when he told the disciples something that sounds familiar to us: "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest." At this point in the gospel, it was just Jesus who was doing his work. He hadn't yet sent the disciples out to be fellow workers in the kingdom, so it was just him trying to tackle all of this. He couldn't do the work on his own. because there was way too much to be done. There were so many people who needed help and healing, who needed a leader, that he couldn't do it alone. So he sent out his helpers. That's when Jesus gathered the disciples and gave them the same authority that he had. The authority being the power to do these things. They could do as Jesus was doing. They had the authority to heal people. They had the authority to order unclean spirits to come out of people. They had the authority to cure every sickness and disease. These are pretty big tasks that were given to the first followers of Jesus going out on their first mission. These things were all listed for the apostles to do. The healing Jesus sent them to do and the healing that Jesus was doing himself were things that today we leave to our doctors and to others in the medical field. When we're sick, we don't go to a fellow disciple who doesn't have any medical degree or medical training in order to get them to heal us. Instead, we usually call our doctors. But even so, there is a way that we do turn to our fellow followers. What is one of the first things that we do when we hear that someone is sick or suffering? We offer to pray on their behalf. When we find ourselves sick or suffering, we pray for ourselves and for our own wellness. So things may be a little different than they were when Jesus sent the 12 out on their mission, but we do still turn to Jesus, and we still do turn to our fellow followers for a sense of healing. After Jesus' statement that the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few, Matthew gives us a list of the apostles. With this list, there's a switch in the term that is used. First, they're labeled as disciples, people who are following Jesus, who are learning from their teacher. And then they are called apostles. Apostles being ambassadors or messengers that are commissioned to carry out the instructions of the one who is sending them. There's more authority when we hear the word apostles. And for those who might pay attention to such things, this is the only time in Matthew's gospel that they're called apostles, as they're getting ready for their first missionary journey. Jesus gave them instructions for who to reach out to as they were on this mission and how to go about this work. They were to go out to find the lost sheep of the house of Israel. The mission hadn't been extended beyond God's people yet. We know that doesn't come until after the resurrection. After the instructions for what to take, which wasn't much of anything, they were told what to do. Go and greet houses and villages and offer them peace. This peace is something that those receiving it could take it or they could leave it. When this peace is shared, it's not the type of peace that we think of in our world today, meaning an absence of conflict. Instead, it's Christ's peace, meaning the presence of love. This takes us back to the compassion that Jesus showed to the people in the towns where he was sent or where he went to do healings. Let's think about these instructions so far. Take nothing with you. It's a big harvest, and there's 13 of you going to be out there working as laborers. Go into strange towns and to homes and find those who are worthy. Heal people. Raise the dead. Proclaim that God's kingdom is coming near. These are no biggie, right? Then here's a zinger. You're being sent out like sheep in the midst of wolves. As if the work already sounded easy enough, now you're like peaceful animals who are going out among animals who will attack you. That's going to make life difficult, right? Think about this world today. There are attacks we hear about all the time. Just Wednesday, we heard of two shootings. One local and on a baseball practice field, and one across the country in a workplace. We've heard of recent attacks at a concert in London, again on a bridge in London. There are attacks everywhere, in nightclubs, at celebrations, at marathons, in workplaces, in homes, on the street. Sometimes it feels as though there's no place we can go anymore where it's safe. And yet, how do we react to these attacks? Sometimes, or quite often, it's the same as when we hear of a sickness in others. We pray. We pray for those who have been impacted. But over time, we might find ourselves starting to live in a bit of fear. We are followers of Jesus. We are now called to be the sheep who are out in the midst of the wolves. We are the ones who are here to proclaim the coming of God's kingdom to those who don't know our stories of faith. But there's more than this, than fear from attacks, whether they're by terrorists or disgruntled individuals. This is our call to evangelism in this passage. This is our call to go out into places and offer Christ peace and love to others. This is our call to proclaim the kingdom of God. Even if and when we do this in more peaceful situations than the first disciples encountered. There are two words that people in church often shudder when we hear. And I'm going to say it. Stewardship and evangelism. With a text like this, we can't go without addressing evangelism. The reason why we might shudder when we hear this, why we might think it's difficult, is that we usually only think of one or two things for its meaning. And those things want us to be a little more outgoing in our faith than we might want to be. But there's more to evangelism than what Jesus sent the apostles out to do in this passage. There's more to evangelism than going out into different towns, villages, and countries to share the word of God. There is more to evangelism than the modern-day version of what these disciples were sent to do, which we call door knocking. There are more focused things that we can do. There are things that are less scary that we can do. At least I find knocking on a stranger's door to be quite scary. In fact, in today's world, we have to be careful about where we go and start knocking on doors. Not just because you don't know who or what is on the other side, but because many neighborhood associations won't even allow it. There are other things we have to figure out to do in order to spread God's word in this world today. This is something that we here at St. Paul's need to explore. How can we get out into the world around us and share God's word with our neighbors? How can we get out there and proclaim the word of peace and compassion to those around us? Right now, evangelism is the only chair not filled on our council, which means the efforts we have been doing are put on pause. This is not something we can have on pause in the long term. Yes, there is some work that's still being done by our council members and by others in the congregation, but more can always be done. So in the midst of your prayers, the prayers that you say for those who are sick and suffering and need compassion, consider whether or not this is work you could be involved with here. Maybe it's not something you would like to tackle alone, but you have somebody in mind who could co-chair with you. Think about it. Pray about it. There's one thing that stops us all from jumping into this work. It's fear. Fear that we won't know what to say. Fear that we don't know what to do. But we don't have to fear in this type of work or any work for that matter. We learn from this passage in Matthew that yes, the work is difficult, but we also learn something else that's very important. That we don't have to worry about what to say in difficult situations. Jesus told the disciples, and then by extension us, what you are to say will be given to you at that time. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. No matter what work we are doing for our Lord, When the time comes and we need the words to say to others, we are given those words. It's not something for us to stress over, even though we'll still stress over it on some level, because that's what we do. Because when we need the words, they'll be given to us. When we are faced with sharing God's word, with sharing God's peace, with sharing that the kingdom of God is coming near, our Lord will give us what to say. To the sick friend, family member, or stranger, to the person who is grieving, to the person who lives in fear of attacks by others, to the person who needs to hear of God's love for them, to the person who needs our compassion and our caring. We aren't called to let fear get in our way. We aren't called to shy away from sharing our faith with others. Instead, we are called to be bold. Yes, even as Lutherans, we are called to be bold. It won't be easy, that's for sure. There are times when we are the sheep who are sent out among the wolves. We are sent out into a world that lacks compassion, peace, and love. And yet we're sent with a great tool. We are sent with God's Spirit to lead us in our work, to guide us in what we say, to strengthen us in our journey of doing this work. Wednesday, after the attack on the baseball practice field, someone said on the news, "At times like this, we see the worst of humanity, and at the same time, we see the best of humanity." It's true. When an attack disrupts our lives, disrupts what little peace we may feel there is, when a lost individual or a member of a terrorist group attacks, and it's therefore working to make it difficult for others to live their lives and to cause more fear in a world full of fear, it does seem like all we can see is the bad. But we do see the good too. We see the good as neighbors reach out to help each other. We see the good as people gather to pray for those who are hurting. We see the good that shines through when people come together as a way of healing and comfort. We see the good as the compassion that drove Jesus to do his work and then send the disciples out to join in that work. Respond through those who respond to the hurt and healing of this world, or hurt and suffering of this world. The 12 were sent out as laborers in a plentiful harvest. We are sent out as the laborers in a plentiful harvest, as this world always needs to hear of compassion and love through Jesus. We are sent out. We have the strength through the one who sends us. Yes, it can be scary, but let us go out and to work to be bold with just one person in this week to come. To show compassion or caring to another in just one way. To let the love our Lord has shown us and this world shine through us. So that we can share the love that we have through Jesus. So that we can let the Spirit work through us in what we say. So that we can be the voice of Jesus among the wolves. So that we can be compassionate and all of the work that we do. We have been given the authority to do these things. So let us strive to be bold in our work. Amen. May the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.